Here at KABU, we always look forward to our talks with David Hattner, musical director of the Portland Youth Philharmonic. David and the orchestra bring PYP's 95th season to an exhilarating close with a concert on Sunday, May 5th at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. PYP will be performing the West Coast premiere of Russian-American composer Lera Auerbach's Symphony No. 1, Chimera, along with Bohuslav Martinu's Oboe Concerto and Jacques Offenbach's overture to his comic opera, La Belle Helene. We're fortunate to have David Hattner with us now to talk about the grand finale of PYP's 95th season. David, thanks for coming into KABU.
Nice to be back, Ken.
Now, David, you've chosen to showcase a contemporary classical piece by a Russian-American composer, Lera Auerbach, Symphony No. 1, Chimera. I've read Auerbach's bio, and I'm absolutely amazed at all she's accomplished, and she's only 45 years old. Can you tell us a little bit about her and what attracted you to her music?
I think you probably know more about her.
I read up on her yesterday, yes.
It's been a while since I've read her bio. I know that her fourth symphony was just premiered in Washington, D.C. within the last month with Teddy Abrams conducting, who also conducts the Brit Festival in Oregon. So I'm looking forward to talking to him about that. And she just seems to have all-consuming interest in all different kinds of things because she's a fantastic pianist, well-known for that alone. And her works are becoming increasingly played everywhere around the world. And I've discovered her rather innocently just researching contemporary composers, women composers, and, you know, clicking on various links to listen to a few minutes of this or that. And this piece really grabbed me. There was a live performance of part of it on YouTube, and I just thought that it would make a really good piece for our particular orchestra to learn.
Well, we'll talk about the piece. I just wanted to mention she was considered somewhat of a musical prodigy. She wrote her first song at the age of four. And I don't think it was about potty training or anything. Actually, the subject was death.
Yeah. So very Russian. She is a truly Russian piece that conforms completely to the great and noble tradition of the Russian pianist composer, which goes back now 150 plus years to the Rubinstein brothers, who founded the Leningrad and Moscow Conservatory, St. Petersburg and Moscow Conservatories. And Anton Rubinstein, who was sort of the father, he taught Tchaikovsky. And then, you know, we have Rachmaninoff, we have Prokofiev, we have Shostakovich, Schnitka, and Shchedrin. And now Lera Auerbach fits right into that tradition. She has no apologies to make either as a pianist or as a composer to any of those predecessors. And her music contains elements that are recognizable to any listener who knows and likes any of those composers. So that's exciting that you can put on a major work by an unknown composer, since the West Coast premiere of this piece, and the audience can come in knowing that they will experience some things that are new to them, but that have a feeling that it's slightly familiar, that, you know, this is part of that tradition that of the music they love the most. Those Russian composers are among the most popular in the history of orchestral music, and I think her music will stand the test of time as well.
Well, let's talk about the piece you'll be playing. It's Symphony No. 1, Chimera, commissioned by the Dusseldorf Symphony. It premiered not too long ago, 2006, and we were talking earlier, it's not your typical symphony. It's not the four-movement format, which you said was initiated by Haydn. It has seven movements, and its origins in music that Auerbach apparently composed for a ballet based on The Little Mermaid, the Disney movie.
Like Hans Christian Andersen's Little Mermaid, which is a little sadder than
Nothing to do with the Disney movie.
Well, it's really the darker, as you might expect from a Russian composer. It's a more tragic story than what Disney
can do. Can you describe the piece? Have you listened to the ballet too?
No, I merely read about her experience with it, and that she found some music, I think, that she ended up not using in the production, and that has sort of evolved into this symphony. And she pointed out that it's not completely unusual to do this. Prokofiev, in his third symphony, used music from one of his operas, The Fiery Angel. So this is, again, a Russian tradition. But the way she uses it is quite interesting. And I think it is truly a symphony. But yes, it's a rather expansive form. It's only about 35 minutes, which, you know, Shostakovich wrote symphonies nearly twice as long. but with seven different sections, there's really a lot of variety in it.
Now, the press release, the PYP press release, mentions that, of course, you're celebrating 95 years as a performing group. They also mentioned a fearless artistry, adventurous programming, and excellent performances. And that's not hyperbole, because I've been to these shows. But I want to talk about that adventurous programming. You brought us the music earlier in the season of African-American composer William Grant Still. And now here's a Russian-American woman composer that's new to me. They're not played or appreciated as much as they deserve. Do you feel it's kind of an omission of you and PYP to bring these works to our attention?
Well, it always has been. Going back to the early days of the orchestra, the founding conductor always tried to, whenever possible, to include something American, which was novel for orchestra concerts in the 20s, 30s, and 40s to play American orchestral music. In many cases, it was by a Northwest composer because he would have met them and they would have given him music to learn. And then Jacob Avshalomov, who had the orchestra for the longest period of time, was a composer. So he was always making sure the orchestra was familiar with the vocabulary of contemporary music so that they would be educated in how to perform it when they would leave the orchestra.
Including his friend Leonard Bernstein.
Yes, he conducted the Jeremiah Symphony, which I did this year.
Right, the last concert.
Time. Yes. And many, many other composers he introduced to the repertoire of the orchestra, including commissions. And his successors, Hugh Edwards and Man Chen, also did plenty of contemporary music on their concerts. And I think I've done my share as well.
This season has just been amazing in terms of the works you've introduced to the Portland audience.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're really trying to have a balanced diet, if you will. And that balanced diet is, of course, for the audiences, but more particularly for the musicians for whom this is an educational opportunity. Of course, they want to play the big classical pieces that they hear on the radio.
Which you do. My first PYP concert, a few years ago, was Beethoven's Fifth.
Right.
And that kind of pulled me in. And now I'm much more open to the newer programming that you do here, or the less traditional programming.
Right. It's simply a question of getting over the anxiety that comes with buying a ticket to a piece that you have no idea what it is. And we're working to make sure that people understand that it's not a random selection of pieces. It's curated by me and seeing that I would like to program things that I would like to hear when I go into a hall. Mm-hmm. So if I hear something that's so striking, like this Auerbach Symphony, I thought it'll be so great for the musicians to learn to play it. They will enjoy it. They'll really give everything they have, which they are. They actually like the piece very much. And I think the audience will be very moved by it, and also enchanted by the many sounds that she gets out of the orchestra. It's quite a wide palette of colors that she uses.
And there's two other pieces on the program. You'll be performing another work by a 20th century composer, that's Martinu, the Oboe Concerto. You have a very special soloist on oboe there. He's an alumnus of PYP, Max Blair. He now plays in the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. How'd you get Max back for this performance, and what's it like working with an alumnus of PYP?
Well, we haven't actually started rehearsing yet. We rehearse on Monday. He has to play his...
You'll find out
he
then.
He has to play his day job. But I was in New York City a couple summers ago, and he was playing at the time with the mostly Mozart orchestra. And so I went to rehearsal, and we had lunch, and I asked him if he would like to come back, because when a young musician manages to win a job in one of the country's top orchestras, which the Pittsburgh Symphony certainly is, it's a big deal. It's very hard to win one of these auditions. It requires years of hard work and then more than a little luck at the end. So he said he would check his calendar and see if any of the dates on ours would work for him to take a week off, because when you're in a section, you have to make sure the principal player can spare you for a week.
Yes.
and that the music director is not conducting and all those sorts of things. But it worked out, and he expressed his preference for this Martinu concerto, which I did not know, although I know Martinu's music very well and I'm an enormous admirer of him as a composer. And so I agreed to do it, seeing that the orchestration worked for the instruments that we have. And it will be wonderful for the musicians to hear it put together. So I took my clarinet to rehearsal and played through parts of it with them.
So just, you were simulating his oboe with the
just trying to give him an idea of what how it integrated, because it really is a chamber music piece. It's a small orchestra, and it's highly integrated between the oboe and the rest of the instruments of the orchestra. They have to hear him, they have to play with him, and they have to understand exactly what's in his part. And it's hard to do that just by listening to recordings, so I thought it would help a little bit. And we're excited.
So he'll be in soon for rehearsals.
Yes, he'll be in for our Monday rehearsal, and then our preview concert, which will be on YouTube.
That's May 2nd, and then the final concert May 5th.
May 5th. So we'll have some time to put it together. And in the meantime, he'll give an oboe masterclass for our young oboists. You know, he only graduated 11 years ago, so
it's... Oh, he's very young too. Wow.
Yes. He was playing in the orchestra the year I was hired. So he was at my audition, and then when I attended the final concert of the year, which is the equivalent of this concert, he was playing his final concert as a member of the orchestra before he went off to the Juilliard School of Music.
Now, the third piece on the program and the final piece on the card is Offenbach's Overture to La Belle Hélène. It's a take on the story of Helen of Troy and the start of the Trojan War, of course. It's been described as a comic opera, and I looked it up, more specifically a comic boof, which is a new term for me. What's a comic boof, and why did you pick Offenbach's piece to close the 95th season?
Well, it's sort of redundant, a comic boof, because buffo it comes from the Italian opera buffo, which is a comic opera.
Oh, okay, so that's you could just say buffo then, and yes, that would have the same meaning.
Yeah, and you're using the French version of that word.
So I'm thinking it's very uplifting, joyful, and you're closing the season with that.
Yes. I conducted this piece twice before I learned that this overture was not actually by Offenbach. It's by another composer, or using the tunes from La Belle Hélène. There is actually an overture that Offenbach wrote, but I've never heard it. The original version of the score doesn't credit the actual composer.
So you just use Offenbach's name.
His music. Uh-huh. And he probably approved of this arrangement during his lifetime. But when we bought it here in Portland, I was interested to learn some of these things. So there's a new printed version. And I've conducted this four or five times. It's sort of a specialty of mine. And I did it four or so years ago with the Alumni Orchestra at the concert at Christmas. And we put that on YouTube, and I think it's our third most popular video, third or fourth most popular video. It has 100,000 views on YouTube.
Incredible.
That performance. It is incredible. Because in classical music, that's a lot.
So it's a very popular piece. An audience pleaser.
And people are enamored of that particular performance. The alumni were very inspired that night and played quite brilliantly. And it came across on video well, I guess. So it's our chance for our current orchestra to try to live up to that standard that their predecessors have set. It's a delightful overture. It couldn't be more charming or have better tunes in it. And at the end of each year, because I see my string players separately once a week, I always go around the orchestra at the end of the year and ask all the seniors what their favorite piece was of this season and of their entire tenure, if they've been in the orchestra more than 1 year. And more than a few people mentioned this overture, which is very gratifying, because they would never hear this piece if they didn't play it in the orchestra. It's just not played anymore, which is sad, because the audience will be delighted by it. They always are.
And that closes the 95th season. We're fortunate you'll be back for the 96th season. Have you started selecting some of the pieces for that? Can you give us a preview?
I can't give you a preview because it's reserved for our donors at the event after the concert, I believe. Although we will hopefully get something into the program. But I can tell you for sure that we will be playing Gershwin's Piano Concerto next year, because the winner of the Portland Piano International Competition played this piece. And we're also going to add to our program next year, somewhere during the season, two more pianists who were the runners-up. They picked two runners-up who were supposed to play part of their concerto with our conservatory orchestra, but I offered them the chance to play a piece of my choosing with the Portland Youth Philharmonic. So we'll also hear Ernest Bloch's Scherzo Fantasque.
And he was played in the last concert, too, with Bernstein and Avshalomov.
Right, and this particular Bloch piece was written in Oregon, so that gives it some some cachet, hopefully.
He lived on the coast. Yeah, we got into that. Yeah.
And César Franck's Symphonic Variations for Piano and Orchestra. So we'll hear those three pieces for sure, and then I believe we'll have some major masterpieces and a few things that will be new to everyone.
As like usual. The Auerbachs and the William Grant Stills that you did this
hopefully
season.
Hopefully so, yes.
Well, David, as always, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and thanks so much for joining us at KBOO today.
Thank you.
We've been talking with David Hattner, musical director of the Portland Youth Philharmonic. PYP will be closing their historic 95th season on Sunday, May 5th at the Arlene Schnitzer Concert Hall. And they'll be presenting a free preview of the concert at Canby High School on Thursday, May 2nd. You can live stream the concert on PYP's YouTube channel starting at 7:30, and it will remain on the channel for later viewing. For all PYP concert details and tickets, you can go to their website, portlandyouthphil.org. This is Ken Jones for KBOO's News In Depth.